Hello everyone, and welcome to Biopedia. The microbiome is a word which is common in the modern day. However, what exactly is it and what influences it? Today, we'll be defining and exploring the microbiome and the microbiota. We'll be touching on what exactly influences the microbiota, although we won't delve too deeply into the specific health effects or a review of the literature. This is just an introduction. First of all, we should define what we're talking about. The microbiota is the population of microorganisms associated with the human body. The sum total of the genomes associated with this microbiota is known as the microbiome. If in good health, the human gut can house 1,000 distinct bacterial species, primarily in the phyla Firmicutes and Bacteroidetes. For comparison, this is about half the estimated number of dinosaur species across the Mesozoic which we discussed in episode 66. Also note that this figure doesn't even include viruses, archaea, or fungi as a figure. Incidentally, Bifidobacterium has been noted as a resident of an ordinary healthy gut. There are about 23,000 genes in the human genome. By comparison, efforts focusing on metagenomics have found more than 3.3 million protein-encoding genes in the human microbiome. The genetic intricacy of the human microbiome is greater than that of their hosts. The microbiota has numerous roles, including influencing our adaptive immune system and our brain, protection against pathogenic organisms, creating short-chain fatty acids and vitamins, development of our immune systems, and affecting our behaviour. It is a vital organ which humans could not function in the absence of. This view of microbes is different to our historical view of them. We've known about microorganisms since the 1800s, and this knowledge was preceded by van Leeuwenhoek inventing the microscope in the 1600s. However, they were previously thought of as falling into either the category of neutral or negative in terms of their impact on human hosts. As I mentioned earlier, the microbiome brings more functions of genes to the table than our own genomes do. The fact that people are not just individuals, but collectives, is apparently bringing a new angle to the philosophy of how we see ourselves as humans. It especially challenges the idea that there is something fundamental that sets humans apart from animals. Humans see themselves as distinct individual units, with science having imagined that the brain, gene function, and the adaptive immune system comprise the human sense of self. However, the microbiome shows us that this might not be the case in all aspects. So, how many microorganisms are we talking about living in our microbiota? Well, that answer is a little muddled. There has been a figure commonly bandied about that the number of microbial cells associated with humans was a factor of 10 greater than the number of human cells. There is rough consensus on the amount of cells in the human body as being 10 to 100 trillion. A previous figure stated that there were 100 trillion to a quadrillion microbial cells, with one review citing the former as an example. Our own human cells were also said to be outnumbered by a factor of 100 to 1,000. However, a 2016 paper by Sender et al. Scoured the literature to see what the ultimate source of the 10 to 1 figure was. Ultimately, it apparently all came from just one hand-wave calculation made by Lucky in 1972, which was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. This figure was supposedly not intended to be taken as gospel when it was first made, and Sender et al. Found the ratio to be closer to 1 to 1. Incidentally, more of a deep dive into the original paper by Lucky in 1972, or looking at subsequent figures, might be worth coming back to in a future episode. The colon is the area in the human body which is comparatively the biggest hotbed for microbial diversity. However, several areas have their own unique microbiota, including the vaginal mucosa, the skin, and the respiratory tract. Now, human genomes don't really change, but the microbiome is fluid. Age can have an impact, with the ratio of Firmicutes to Bacteroidetes changing as a person ages. Firmicutes start off as relatively less abundant, but this dramatically reverses to the tune of about 10 to 1 in adulthood, before the original balance is restored in older age. Notably, it changes fast when humans are young. There are circumstances which can impact what resides in the intestinal microbiota when in infancy. Three of these factors are whether the baby has been breastfed, whether the birth was by C-section, and how well fed the baby is. The microbiota residing in infant children is passed to them via their mothers. This happens via the vaginal canal, being breastfed, and touching the skin of the mother. In fact, there may also be transference of microorganisms when the fetus is still in the uterus. Diverging a bit here, some think that mothers altering their microbiomes whilst they're still pregnant, or even before, influences how microorganisms colonize newly born babies and how the gut microbiome changes in children. A 2019 review looked at a few factors that influence it. Firstly, having pets indoors is known to change the resident microbiome of the house and is relevant in the composition of the microbiome after birth. In fact, when a dog is brought into the house, rarer strains can be detected inside, and there are comparatively big changes within a year of the canine's introduction. 1-month-old children which had furry pets in the house were more likely to have the strain Bifidobacterium pseudolongum in their system, which comes from animals. It is thought that having pets also leads to lower sensitivity to frequent allergens, something known as atopy, in children. However, this result is not found everywhere. Supposedly there are studies which say atopy is 20 to 25% less common if pets are kept in the house in the first 1 or 2 years of life. Next, there is breastfeeding. Breast milk is a complicated substance which has bioactive substances such as fatty acids, cytokines, hormones, and immunoglobulins. It is not sterile, as it has both prebiotic and probiotic function. For context here, prebiotic refers to substances used by beneficial microorganisms which convey health upsides. By contrast, probiotics are living microorganisms which are beneficial when conveyed in the correct dose. Breast milk has microorganisms within it, is thought to steer the colonization of the child's gut, and can have both a direct and indirect function on the composition of the infant's microbiome. So-called immunomodulatory factors have interactions with both the mother and child's microbiome, and may convey some of the health positives linked to breastfeeding. Breast milk frequently has lactic acid bacteria, Bifidobacterium, Staphylococcus, and Streptococcus. One study looking at 1,032 Dutch children from the age of 1 month found that formula-fed babies were faster settled by Clostridium coxoides, Lactobacillus, and Bacteroidetes. A later Swedish study is supposed to have found that, once breastfeeding was stopped, the microbiome alters to become more like that of an adult. Breastfeeding has been found to be the most relevant factor in the infant microbiome composition, and generally, breastfed children have more Bifidobacterium and fewer Firmicutes and Bacteroidetes. Studies have differed on whether it influences sensitization to common allergens. However, factors such as confounding variables and bias might have influenced observed differences, and it has been pointed out that it might not be best practice to compare formula-fed babies to breastfed ones, given that the diversity of flora in breast milk can be very different between individuals. Let's discuss the impact of antibiotics for a moment. Treatment of antibiotics has been found to lower Bifidobacterium abundance, and this remains the case 6 weeks after birth with longer treatments of antibiotics for 5 days or more. Regardless of whether treatment duration was short or long, Enterococcus settled and became a dominant player. Both antibiotics and antifungals impact the microbiota's composition. C-section birth is also a factor which influences microbiota composition. C-section birth can cause dysbiosis of the gut microbiota, with C-section babies having lower diversity and particular species being less abundant. Dysbiosis, incidentally, is defined as a stable form of the microbial community that is casually linked to disease in some aspects. It's worth noting that no organisms have had a causal link to allergy formation in children laid at their feet, as per a 2019 review. This is probably tied to the fact that we struggle to distinguish between a microbiota which is healthy and one which is not. To finish, let's discuss a few examples of the microbiota's relevance in certain conditions. Multiple studies are supposed to have stated that children with autistic spectrum disorder have a different microbial gut flora to those who do not. As we indicated in the start of this episode, the gut microbiome can also influence host behaviour through regulation of the gut-brain axis, although more research is needed. A better studied association is between irritable bowel syndrome and the microbiota. IBS is a condition that impacts the digestive system and can cause effects such as constipation, diarrhea, or a cramping stomach. Affected individuals have microbiomes with a different makeup than those who are unaffected. Between the two groups, both species richness and how many individuals there are in a given species differs. Those with IBS have fewer Firmicutes and Bacteroidetes, less diverse bacterial communities, and more proteobacteria. The microbiome either initiates beneficial or harmful immune responses depending on its makeup, which influences how vulnerable an individual is to IBS from a genetic standpoint. Pathogenesis of IBS comes down to this vulnerability interacting with factors from the environment, such as smoking. Finally, there is also some impact of body weight. In women with obesity, the vulvar pH is on average higher than those with a body mass index below or equal to 30. Women with average BMI had a vulvar microbiota overshadowed by lactobacillus, while those with a higher BMI have a microbiota dominated by Corynebacterium and Phenogoldia. This information comes courtesy of a 2019 publication, and is an example of body mass index and/or obesity affecting the microbiota. This same effect of BMI and obesity wasn't found in the skin around the stomach, indicating that this effect isn't generalized to everywhere across the body. There are others we could discuss, such as type 1 diabetes, but given the length of this episode, this seems a good place to leave our discussion. Until next episode, thank you for listening, and the factors that can influence it or which it can influence, and these are probably worth discussing in a future episode in more detail. Feel free to get in touch with the show's email address for any questions, comments, or topic suggestions for future episodes. Until next time, have a great week, everyone.